BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Now, finding buried treasure, it's always an exciting idea, isn't it? And nowadays, though, you find it not with a map, but a family tree. At least, that's what Moneybox listener Vanessa Case was offered. She's with us now. Vanessa, what was the offer you got?
Hi, Paul. I got a letter at the end of last year from a company that claimed to be a firm of professional genealogists specialising in recovering unclaimed assets. They mentioned the names of my grandparents and my mother, who are all deceased now, and asked me to complete a form giving them the authority to pursue that claim, and also asking for my consent to pay 25% of any assets that were recovered and to return that. I've watched and heard enough Moneybox programs to be slightly suspicious of that, so I ignored the first letter, and I did call them when I got a second letter reminding me that I hadn't responded yet.
And what really set off that Moneybox alarm, as you suggested it was?
Probably a little bit of cynicism, but then after contacting them, and it was a very glossy presentation with an explanatory leaflet and so forth, they sent a second letter that was actually asking me at that point to sign over a form which gave them power of attorney over any matters in regard to this, and also asking for proof of identity, at which point, obviously, that really went into overdrive. I thought, I don't know these people. I looked at Google, I looked at what was supposed to be their head office address, which didn't look very impressive. I tried to find advice, but it's actually quite difficult. It's not an obvious place to get clear advice from to see whether you're getting into trouble or not.
No, indeed. So you contacted Moneybox, always a sensible thing to do. Mm-hmm. Listening to that is, stay with us, Vanessa, but listening to that is Danny Curran. He's the founder and managing director of a firm called Finders International, as you might imagine. They search for relatives on behalf of solicitors mainly and local authorities. Danny, I think you've been in the business for over 30 years. How can people like Vanessa tell if letters that just appear out of the blue are genuine or not?
Yes, hi, Paul. It's not an easy one, as Vanessa found out straight away, just to look at the letter and think, oh, yes, this is fine. The golden rule is always not to hand over any money, don't give your bank details or that kind of thing straight away, which obviously wouldn't happen. It's an unregulated industry, but we do have a voluntary regulatory body that we helped form with many other companies about 5-6 years ago. And hopefully, and that's called the International Association of Professional Probate Researchers, and the website is iappr.org, and that's got some momentum behind it in a lot of companies signing up to it across Europe and the rest of the world. So there's a few basic places to start. It is tricky to verify a firm.
And supposing you think, well, I've looked it up, it is a genuine firm, I can see it's a member of this organisation and so on, how do you pick the good from the bad?
Well, that's very much... what we would suggest to a lot of people is to say that if you're unsure, that the question about powers of attorney that Vanessa Rose was interesting as well, because that's another level of worry. My firm wouldn't, certainly not at that stage, offer a power of attorney. And normally the powers of attorney are made out to solicitors. So a probate research company asking for a power of attorney should be a very rare situation. So I've acted as attorney administrator. I've had powers of attorney in my favour. But usually on a case where it involves assets in several different countries and it needs authorisations going on all over the place.
And what's a reasonable fee when they say we're going to charge you a certain amount or a certain percentage of whatever we get for you? What's a reasonable amount?
Well, again, it depends on the amount of money due, because on most of these cases, the average inheritance on a case that we do is maybe only £1,000. And maybe there's 30 to 40 beneficiaries inheriting a sum of cumulatively maybe an estate of about 30,000-40,000. So individually, that percentage of 25% of £1,000 isn't a big deal. So on an individual basis, what I would suggest is they contact the company and say, do you know how big the estate is, or the sum of money in question? And do you know what share of that I'll be getting approximately? And they should be able to give you a ballpark figure at least, so then you can judge whether the percentage seems fair.
Now, I'm sure there'll be lots of people listening thinking, well, I do family history. I mean, there's lots of stuff online. There's indexed data available now very easily. I could do this myself. Can they do it themselves?
There's no law stopping people presenting a claim to an estate themselves, but inevitably that will be checked by, hopefully checked by a professional. But there are many, many, many pitfalls. And as I said, if you're looking at a sum of money that's fairly modest, the amount of time, all the documents you have to buy to prove your claim, you have to work out whether it's worthwhile doing it, first of all, because you could be spending more money than you're going to get. And so that's the first point. The second point is, yes, you can do it, but there are a lot of issues around that.
Yeah, so be very careful. And Vanessa, you've heard what Danny's had to say. Are you tempted now to go ahead?
I think I will look them up on the website to see whether they're a genuine company or not. And I agree, Danny was saying about the power of attorney. It is made out to a solicitor, but it's just for the company, not a separate address, so I couldn't check the solicitor's address. So, he's given me some advice to at least take the next step in researching.
Vanessa, well, thanks, and good luck with your research. Now, Danny Curran is staying on for a little while because, Danny, you've been doing this job for 30 years or more and come across, well, shall we say, interesting stories. One about a lottery win.
Yeah, there's an amazing number of stories that happen. It's true that reality is more bizarre than fiction in this job. We had one case where an estate was being wound up, and the first unusual thing, well, for us it's fairly common, but the first unusual thing was the beneficiary were the grandchildren of the person that died, and they never knew that he existed. They didn't, you know, family split up, they drift apart. But we thought it was a fairly modest windfall of about maybe a few £1,000 that they would come into. And then during the estate administration process, the deceased assets are always gathered together and mail is looked through personal possessions to see if there's anything that might be significant and add, you know, value, or any debts or assets or liabilities. And while the deceased van was being cleared, someone had a look behind the sun visor and found a lottery ticket. And hey presto, the estate was £70,000 better off.
Goodness, that was a bit of luck. You might well have missed that and sent it straight to the scrapyard. But of course, Danny, not all family history reveals things you want to know. It can reveal hidden secrets from the past, can't it?
Yeah, there was a case we had quite a few years ago where a lot of our cases involve post-war, you know, families separating and wars and history generally. That's causes a lot of the separation and the reason why people have not heard of certain facts. Plus, you have generational things where people don't want to talk about things that could be considered embarrassing. But by today's standards, it would be fairly run-of-the-mill. So this one involved an Italian prisoner of war who was put to work, as many were, on an English farm. And it transpired that he had an affair with the farmer's wife, and he who latterly gave birth to a daughter. So he went back to Italy. I presume the daughter was brought up as if it was nothing to do with this Italian fella. And he may not have even known about her. We can never say whether he did or not. But he then had subsequently got married back in Italy. And the offspring in the UK, the daughter never married, never had any children of her own, had no brothers and sisters, and passed away with a sizable estate. So then it was our job to find the next of kin, and we found out that there was who the real father was, and we traced him back to Rome, and we found a number of beneficiaries in the Rome area.
Wow, that's quite extraordinary.
It turned into a bit of a sort of mafia-like scene in a lawyer's office with a large mahogany table and espresso and cigarettes everywhere. It was incredible.
I'll bet it did. And I know you do work for money. Obviously, people pay you a percentage, but you also do free work for local authorities to find relatives of people who've died. And no one knows perhaps who they are or maybe who their relatives are. And just tell us briefly, does that turn up different things?
Yeah, Finders International has an arrangement with many local authorities whereby we don't just cherry pick the estates of value, we'll do all of them. So that includes all of the people who passed away, sadly, with no money. And we will trace their next of kin on a pro bono basis. And that turns up some amazing stories. But as part of our kind of pro bono remit, we maybe do 500 cases a year of this kind. And we do other kind of weird and wonderful cases. We were contacted by a lady whose father in Ireland was one of the forced adoptees, so was sent to the Magdalene laundries. The mother is a sinner, and the children taken off her. She had two children, two boys, and one of them, the daughter of one of them, contacted us a few years ago and said, "My dad's turned 80. We've tried all our lives to find his brother, and just have had no luck at all. We're looking all over Ireland and everything else." So as it transpired, we then managed to trace him, and he was living in the Bristol area. And the whole thing was filmed, actually. It was a very, very touching, very moving thing where these two brothers met for the first time since birth, age 78 and 80. And it was a beautiful moment and very, very moving. And I'm so pleased we did it. So it was a great story.
What a fascinating job. Danny Curran of Finders International, thanks very much.